Hello and welcome back to Honey, We Need to Chat. My name is Amy and this is my husband, Blair.
I am.
Yep. We are all about communication at this podcast. This is something we're extremely passionate about. We've said it before and we'll say it again, that when communication dies, bad things happen. And so the heart behind Honey, We Need to Chat is to be workshopping areas where couples might get a bit stuck in their communication, in their relationship. Where we get stuck,
where we have been stuck,
and where we may get stuck, and just kind of workshop it together as a couple, and then also with you guys. So that's what we are about. Welcome to our chit chat episode. How are you going today, babe?
I'm good, babes.
Yeah,
I am. If we're going to do how are we out of 10, yeah. I am a 9.5.
Wow,
I'm good. I'm feeling really good. Mm. Again, a lot of my this can be real negative. And it's not for today's episode, but I find a lot of value and self-worth out of productivity.
Yes.
And so last episode, I spoke about how I had a really low mental health day or a couple of days. And it was because I did not feel confident in the work that I was doing, which made me feel unproductive, which made me feel very low. I've had a really great week
productive,
yeah. Kicking some butt, ticking the boxes, and I feel really, really good.
Yeah,
so 9.5. Awesome. You?
Yeah, I'd say probably maybe an 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit tired today.
Yeah, should have had a nap.
I did.
Oh, nice.
So that's where I'm at. But yeah, pretty good.
Another nap.
Should have had another nap.
But before we get into the topic today, sometimes I'm in my head a little bit about how much we repeat ourselves, but I'm going to do it anyway because I don't care.
Yeah.
But I seriously, a part of my 9.5 is I'm still on a bit of a high from the engagement we've been getting from our listeners.
Absolutely.
You know, oh man, I think, how long have we been out for?
Literally almost exactly a month. So I'm going to put a post up, but not even a month yet.
It's crazy. And you know, what we hoped for was that Amy and I would have conversations. These are conversations we're already having because we're intentional about us growing in communication because we see it as such a core foundation in a relationship. And we're like, cool, hopefully, you know, if we help people, that's going to be fantastic. But the feedback, it's not even just feedback, it's the engagement, you know, just the conversations we're having with people. They're sending in messages and saying, oh, like, this really spoke to me. This is my situation. This is my story. And then also, you know, can you talk about this? And, you know, we've had a couple of those now and we're like, oh, cool. How do we give this justice? Like, how do we do well in this space? So anyway, we're looking at some guest speakers and stuff coming up in the future. No idea when, but to really just help bring a little bit more oomph into those topics that we're getting have been written in. But anyway, I've just been on a high about that. I've just absolutely loved it. And even before sitting down for tonight, I'm having a conversation with a bunch of guys about tonight's topic even.
Yeah.
And it just, I just love it. I get so pumped up. Yeah. It's just conversations. Mm. It's just communication, but the impact that it has on us individually and then just other people around us is really powerful. And so I'm just on a high. I think I'm just really pumped up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really encouraging. And I think for me, it's just been very affirming or reaffirming, I guess, of the need of communication and that that's just so universal because what we say and how we navigate communication is just not how everyone's going to do that.
No.
And that is totally fine. But the fact that so many people are engaged in it so far already is not because we're amazing communicators. It's because everyone listening, almost everyone listening to almost every topic has some kind of perspective on it or has navigated it in some way in their own relationship. And so it's immediately applicable. And whether they agree with what we say or not, like they're like, yeah, we've got it. And we've had people disagree. And that's awesome.
What I was going to say is like one of the conversations I was having tonight was someone disagreeing with a view that we had.
Yeah.
And but it's, what's awesome though, is he's still having the conversation 100%. With his partner. And I was like, oh, gotcha. But it's just like, it's again, not everyone's going to agree with our point of view. And I'm completely fine with that. That's not the point. Our opinions and our views are not the point.
Yeah.
It's having the conversation and encouraging you guys to have the conversations and to see the power of that. So I'm just blown away, and we want to keep on encouraging you guys right in. We'll get, because again, we are getting a few now, which was, we just weren't prepared for. So please, if we do have a little bit of a delay, or if we haven't answered it on a podcast, like answered your questions or your requests.
If we haven't responded to whatever you've written in
on the episode, just give us time. We were not prepared for this amount of input, and so we're in a bit of catch up, but I'm so thankful for you guys and just being a part of this with us. It just reconfirms what our thoughts were.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to say, before we dive into this chat as well, the interesting thing we've discovered is that, well, it's not interesting, this was totally predictable, that most of our listeners are female, which is very normal for any kind of online content. Most, especially relationship related, most will be female. But the most feedback we've been getting genuinely is from men. And it's really interesting. A few people being like, I saw this stuff and I was like, oh, it's not going to be my thing. And then I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just try it. And and then they've gotten really into it and they've listened to every episode. We have multiple,
and then they've written in.
And they've written in. Yeah, we've had multiple men that are up to date on every episode and commenting on it. And it's just, it's awesome. So what I want to say specifically for this episode, but also in general, like, I just challenge you in this literal moment right now that you're listening to just think, who are three people that I could suggest this podcast to, but specifically this episode as well, who are some men in my life that I could suggest this podcast to? Because what we're about to chat about is something that is really universal. Again, maybe not the way we navigate it, but is universal to most couples and is hopefully going to be something that's a really good conversation starter and a tool and resource for even just starting that exploration in your relationship that sometimes guys maybe aren't aware of. So this episode in particular, I'd love to challenge you to just think, who are people I could share this with? And also specifically, who are some men in my life that might benefit from this too, even though I wouldn't necessarily first think men and this podcast, but it seems to be being a blessing to them. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's our spiel.
That's cool. What is the topic?
Yeah, well, on that note, the topic of this episode, this chit chat, is mental load, which is a phrase that we discovered, I think it was like last year or the year before.
Sometime recently.
However, it is a concept that has been in our relationship since the beginning. It's just something that I didn't have a structure around it until whenever I discovered it in the last couple years. And then I was able to, I was like, oh, I saw this reel that was really intriguing. And it was a man that was talking about in his relationship.
Well, he was a psychologist or something, I think.
Maybe. Yeah. I can't even remember who it was. Remember seeing the reel and he was talking about the mental load within a relationship and the imbalance there, and specifically about grocery shopping, which we'll talk about as we go into the chat. And so I showed Blair this reel because he works with dads and also just for our relationship as well. And then it was like a concept that was introduced to him, and it was really fascinating to kind of realize how much blind spot there is on both sides to this concept, but how prevalent it is in relationships.
Yeah.
So we thought, and we've mentioned it on the podcast before in passing, but we thought it definitely deserved its own chit chat.
Yeah.
So that is why we are here tonight.
And I want to say as well, a lot of the things that we're talking about in this episode, I struggle with. So it's important for me to say that, because again, I don't want to be coming across of like, all right, guys, you need to be doing this, doing that, whatever else. I actually really struggle with this. And when Amy showed this to me, it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I'm like, I do that. I hadn't even thought of this before you brought it to my attention. And I've shared it to many guys since then.
Yeah.
We've even made a webinar about this for my work. It's so much. And again, the impact has been huge. Mm. Again, not everyone's going to agree. That's completely fine. A lot of guys just might not see it. That's completely fine. What we're trying to do in this is encourage the conversation. So women, if you're hearing this episode, we want to encourage you to have this conversation with your partner. And we want to talk about ways in which we can do that, how you start the conversation and so forth, and how we did that, because that's a sensitive thing. And also, guys, be receptive. Like, try and let your barriers down, let your walls down. Just listen and see, and just reflect your way of interacting, your way of communicating, the way that you're trying to show love. Because again, we're going to dive into this soon, and just hear. We really want to encourage you to listen and reflect and talk last. That's something that I really have been wrestling with and trying to grow in, is talk last. I'm a verbal processor, so that's really hard to do, but it actually helps my verbal processing if I listen first, reflect, then talk and process. So I just want to encourage that, if that's going to help you guys.
Yeah. And just one last little disclaimer before we dive in. Obviously, this is generalizing, so it's not always men and women that will fall into these categories in this way that we're going to talk about. Generally, this is how it plays out. May not be the case for your situation. So just disclaimer, generalizing a little bit, and just so we don't have to say it the whole way through, that's what we're starting with.
Cool.
Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Guys, we have an exciting update. What's our exciting update?
Patreon!
And Spotify subscription.
Spotify sub!
We have some really great quality, raw, extra content that we are going to be posting on our Patreon and our Spotify subscription. So if you are interested in a little bit more from our episodes, if you get to the end and you're like, I want one more story, now you know.
Join in.
It's also going to be a place where we will be updating, sending resources, and just keeping our little community growing and extending there. So if you're interested at all, please check it out. We will post about how to sign up. If you have any questions, let us know. Get onto the Patreon. Get onto the Spotify subscription.
Yeah.
Thank you. So to start, I thought it would be great to just kind of even just give a definition of what mental load is. So mental load, I was doing a quick Google. I found it really well worded on a blog. So I've just literally taken it word for word, and I'm going to tell you what the blog was. It was written by Randy Donahue.
Donahue.
The definition that she wrote out was, mental load is the cognitive and emotional effort used to manage your life, and in many cases, the lives of others. And everything that I can see about it is, it's basically the invisible tasks. So we all know workload, right? We've heard workload as we've grown up and gone into the workforce and that kind of thing. I think even in your family, in your household, it's fairly easy to see the physical visible tasks in terms of workload. You might have that kind of worked out, how that lies with each partner, but those are visible tasks. The mental load is the invisible tasks that sit on the mind, and they tick away, and they take a great deal of effort, and they actually impact a lot of all the other aspects of your life, but they're hard to kind of express that you can't see them. And so it's like, it's real easy for a partner to not be aware of them happening. It's even easy for the person who's got the mental load going on to not really be aware of what's going on, because all they know is they're stressed. They wouldn't necessarily have words around it. Mental load is the cognitive and emotional effort used to manage your life, and in many cases, the lives of others. So mental load could look different for each couple, and probably will, but I found a list at healthline.com that was really helpful with just some general ones that might be common. And the first thing that they start with is, does the refrain of just tell me if you need me or let me know if I can help sound familiar? And I thought,
yes,
those are great. Like that, those two things on their own is a really good way of kind of defining what mental load is. So here are some things that might be causing mental load: having to remind people to pay bills or handle other essential tasks, needing to offer praise or pats on the back for handling necessary chores around the house, like the dishes or things that are just, you need to do them. Keeping track of parenting-related daily details like school plans, after-school plans, permission slips, library books, due dates, doctor's appointments. Checking in on the kids' physical and emotional needs. Making to-do lists, grocery lists, or chore charts. Purchasing and wrapping gifts for friends and loved ones' birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, etc. Scheduling date nights, vacations, and visits to family or friends. Lacking the time to pursue leisure activities when your partner does have time to pursue leisure activities. Childcare, the presumption that you have the kids when your partner is going to do something, but you having to arrange for your partner to have the kids when you go to do something. Finishing off tasks. So the partner might do most of the task, but then there's a little bit that you have to finish up for them because they haven't completed the task. Using the last of something, so leaving one egg in the egg carton or leaving like a tablespoon of milk in the milk carton and not replacing it or not letting you know that it's almost empty. So you'd have to discover on your own. Another example is leaving only like a few sheets, little squares of toilet paper on the toilet roll. I'm not looking at you.
You did look at me.
I also do it sometimes. Sometimes. And getting the house and the family ready for tasks or the night or when you leave on holidays, those kinds of things. So this is a list of just obviously big bunch of random things. I thought I might dive into a few of these because a few of these already are applicable to us. Mm-hmm. But the first one I thought maybe is a good one to chat through that we first talked about, which was grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. That was the first kind of like light bulb. Do you want to explain?
Yeah, because that was what... back in the day, the conversation you brought up, and that was your example. And that for me was like, oh man, that's so true. So yeah, grocery shopping. So for example, you would go back in the day, you would go grocery shopping and you've gone through the pantry, you've gone through the fridge, you've looked at what we need, you know, do we need dishwashing tablets? Do we need whatever else, right? You've done all that. Then you go with your list to the shops. Mm. And for me, what I was doing was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I want to step up. I'm going to do the groceries because it needs to be done. I want to step up and I don't want to rely on you for everything. So what I would do is say, Amy, what do we need at the shops? I'm going to go shopping. And that right there was the mental load. I was still relying on Amy to put the list together for me so I can go do the thing. And for me, I'm like, I'm doing a great thing here. I am, it's going grocery shopping.
I'm doing a good thing.
Like I'm being doing helpful. A responsible thing. Yeah. I'm, you know, stepping up to the plate. I'm, you know, providing for my family. I'm not relying on Amy, but I was relying on Amy, which is the mental load.
There were times, just this is not a big issue, the grocery shopping thing, but I do remember times where you would go grocery shopping and in my head, I'm like, I should be grateful he's grocery shopping, but it still felt like a lot of work. And I never had words to put to it.
Yeah.
I never was like, it feels like it's a lot of work because I am still having to fill out the list when blah, blah, blah. Like I just didn't have it clear in my head, but I was just like, I would feel like a like frustration or a burden or like an irk with it, even though it was something that you're doing nice. And so it'd be very easy. And I think this is what the trap is for couples in general with this, to be like, but he's doing something good.
Mm.
I shouldn't like nag, he's doing something good. Or to even be like, I'm really annoyed and I'm just going to be annoyed. Like you could either go either way, like dismissing them, being like negative, critical, or you could go dismissing yourself and your frustrations because you're like, oh, but they are doing something good. Or he did take the bins out 3 days ago. So I shouldn't have that kind of thing. Like it's a real, unless you have a clarity around it, it's easy to kind of get lost in this big mess of confusion of mental load.
So I want to give an example of what we came up with after that. So what could it look like, right? So I have a look and I see what things we need. So I do that myself. I don't rely on Amy, but it's okay for me to come to Amy and say, I'm going down the shops. I'm going to get X, Y, Z. What else do we need? So even though I'm still including Amy in the conversation, it's not putting it all on her. It's like, no, I'm doing all this. Just want to check in. Is there anything else? So that's not a cop-out. And we have to be very careful with that. I'm not just like finding that we need eggs, but not putting anything else on the list and then relying on Amy. Like, no, I'm doing my part. I've done my look. I've done that. But is there anything else that you spotted? Yeah. And this is really important too. Like what you said is you didn't just bring this up and be like, Blair, you are putting so much on me, on my mental load. Like I feel like I'm taking on your stuff too. It was none of that. It was, hey, this is an interesting thing. What's a way that we can help you with that? And it feels weird because I feel like a baby saying this. Like I really do. I feel like kind of you're mothering me a little bit in this space, and it's really annoying and I wish it was different. Reality is it's not. And this is a big part of the journey for a lot of guys. And I don't understand why completely. And we've got some ideas. But for some reason, a lot of guys need that help to think at this level for some reason. And I was one of them. So, that was been a big part of this discovery. It's not only just discovering what it is, but how do I grow in that?
Yeah. And I think the really big thing is, there are a ton of cultural things around this. So when you become a mom specifically, you enter into this realm of motherhood And there are lots of opportunities to get frustrated at your partner. A lot of the time it was legitimate frustrations. And I feel like we've said this in so many episodes, like legitimate frustrations where the husband or the partner just cannot step up. And it just, when you hear the story, which it makes sense how it becomes this culture, you hear this story and you're like, what is that guy's deal? Like, why can he not step up? It's so ridiculous. That's such a tiny thing. Why does she have to be his mother? Blah, 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 blah. And you just, it just is a self-fulfilling prophecy, because once that culture starts, then it's like a big, really difficult machine to stop. Because it is continuing to reinforce itself. What I've realized, almost none of those guys, I believe, would want to be that way. Almost none of those guys, if they heard the hurt that they were causing their partner, almost none of them would just be satisfied to be like, oh yeah, that's what I do. Like genuinely inside, they might have that front. I don't know. I think for so many reasons, they are unaware, not equipped, too scared, insecure, whatever it might be. There's like a bazillion reasons that might be thrown at them. And once you kind of ingrain yourselves in your, in the roles of your family, it can be really hard to change that, especially as you have kids and you really like your roles just kind of get more and more and more and more reinforced. And so one huge heart that I have behind this conversation is it's not about like, this is what guys are missing. This is kind of what you've just said. It's not what you're missing. It's sad that you miss it. It's sad that something's happened. And there's a few things, like you said, that, that I think we've looked into why it might pan out the way it does. It's sad that it's missing. It's sad that it's a fact, but it is a fact. And so you kind of have to be like, what is the goal that I have for the relationship? What do I want it to be like? As the person that struggles more with the mental load, I could be bitter and frustrated that Blair doesn't pick up on some of those things. And I could just sit in my head and stonewall, like we talked about in the Four Horsemen episode, stonewall, like get internal with it, get bitter about it, get critical about it for a good reason, because I'm doing a lot of work, but for unproductive and not constructive reasons. Or I could be like, this is how it is. We need to communicate through it. This is not what I want our relationship to be like in 5 years' time. What I do want it to be like is for us to both feel equipped, to both feel safe, to feel like a team. And that's going to take some steps, like you've just said, that might be, might feel a little patronizing or might feel a little like unnecessary, but are going to work towards the culture that you do want for your family.
I think a big thing too is, you know, again, I want to speak to the guys here. This is, this needs to be bought in, you know what I mean, by both sides of the couple. Like if you brought this to me and I'm like, it is what it is. Or like, it's funny. That's going to be such a kick in the guts.
I would just never talk about it again.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it's just going to be the way that it is. And that's not fair on you. But at the same time, I'm going to say too, I love working on this. You know, and I've got a long way to go. I really do. But I love it when I'm like, oh, I know what I've done. Like, oh, I've looked at the shopping list and I've asked Amy what else she wants to pin in. I love that because I know the difference, you know what I mean? And it feels so petty talking about the shopping list. The shopping list is like one of the smallest things we're talking about right now.
It's just a very good example.
Don't get caught up on the shopping list thing. It's just the small thing that started this conversation for us. So when you guys are having this conversation at home, move on from just the shopping list. It's not a shopping list conversation. It's a mental load in general conversation.
As I was going through it, I even said to Blair before, like a few of these are things that I do see in our relationship. And it's not,
nervous.
Not to be critical. It's not to be critical because there's so much that goes into how we've ended up this way. And I was even saying when we were preparing too, I don't know how I ended up in this role. Like I'm really intrigued by how this happens, not because it's been done to me, but like I wasn't super independent or super well established in managing a household before we got together. And you actually were really independent and very, very capable in managing your household. So it's funny that this just naturally is how it progresses.
One thought, and I wanted to run it by you to see how you see it or what you feel about it. Do you think that because I work more than you, and you're at home more with the kids and surrounded by that, do you think that has a big part to play in it? So
absolutely.
The other part too is, So my burnout, I didn't work for about a year, right? Now, this isn't completely true because I was having a lot of mental health issues that you still had to step in for, which is a whole other thing, and you had to get counseling over my burnout too, right? Like, it was a big, big thing. But that season of me being a stay-at-home dad opened my eyes so much more to the mental load stuff, because I couldn't rely on you anymore.
Yeah.
You weren't there. You were working. I was at home with the kids. Our kids weren't at school yet. I was at home with the kids, and all of those things did come onto me. So I feel like it gave me a whole other level of appreciation of what you did, what my mum used to do, what other mums do.
Yeah.
And now, like, there's a lot more stay-at-home dads now than ever before. Mm. I had this whole other level of appreciation for the stay-at-home parent.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
In terms of, obviously it's not the answer, but how much of that would be impacting it.
Yeah. I definitely think that played a part. I also think my personality plays a part. Like, I'm a warrior. So I just, not a warrior, like a fighter, like a warrior, like a
I bite
my nails and I worry.
I seriously thought, like, warrior. I'm a warrior woman.
I'm a warrior woman. I mean, I am, but.
You are.
Not for this.
You are.
I am an anxious personality. I can be anxious. Yeah. And so my mind is the kind of mind that would overthink things, or would, like, you know, see things that could happen, and catastrophic thinking and how to prevent the things that I'm catastrophically thinking about and that kind of thing. So I think there's that aspect too. There's how you're brought up would be a part of it, like your family dynamics, the roles that your parents played, how you just naturally fall into them. Like I said, I wasn't super, like, what would you call it? Not maternal, because it's not motherhood, but super woman-nernal.
Woman-nernal.
I don't know what the word is.
Woman-nernal.
I wasn't, like, in that role before we were together, but because I had seen more traditional roles in my parents, potentially when we did get together, it was like, okay, that's where I'm going. Yeah. So my brain just went there. But I did actually look up a couple of things that will help. There's a study that was done by someone who's a student at Harvard, I believe, that was really interesting on mental load. And also just a few points on why it is that it usually ends up the woman with more mental load and why the man might struggle to identify it. So firstly, there was a study done by this student called Allison Daminger, and it is on the household labor, or the cognitive dimension of household labor, to be specific, which is the cognitive side of the household labor.
Which is a lot of words. Yep.
A lot of words. Exactly. And she really interestingly divided mental load into four different aspects. So there's anticipating, identifying, deciding, and monitoring. And so anticipating means looking ahead at what's coming. So you could put the example they have in this article is anticipating the school year that's coming, looking for schools. You know, you need to get a school for your kids. So you're like, oh, I need to get onto that. That's anticipating. That's part of the mental load. Then there is identifying, and that involves things like setting up tours to schools, or identifying what options of schools are around, or talking to your friends about what schools might be good, or thinking about your kid and what they might need in their school, that kind of thing. So you've anticipated, that's coming up, I need to get onto it. Then you've identified what's around, what are the options. Then the next step is deciding, so choosing the best school for your kid. You've gone to the tours, now you're deciding on it. You're deciding on what works for your budget. You're deciding on what works for your house. And then the fourth one is monitoring. So that is making sure all the paperwork is in. It's making sure all the school supplies are ready, all the uniforms are ready, that the child's ready for the first day. So there's four different steps to mental load. Looking ahead, recognizing what you need to do that, making decisions once you've recognized what needs to be done, and then also monitoring on the other side to make sure it's been done well. And so when they did this study, they looked at 35 different sets of parents specifically and tried to figure out where the tasks sat within the couple. And they found out that women were much more likely to handle the anticipating part, the first part. So flagging, this is coming up. We got to think about this. We got to think about this. And then also more likely to handle the monitoring on the other side to make sure it's been done well.
Oh, wow.
Then they said that the deciding, making the decision factor, was fairly equal between the two. So it wasn't necessarily super one-sided. They also didn't have, for some reason, the result for identifying. So the part where you're looking at what schools are good. I'm assuming that's kind of part of the deciding factor, because you're looking at this school's good and this school's good, and then you decide on the school. So that's probably more of a partnership thing. I thought that was really interesting, because I think that plays out big time in our relationship. Things like doctor's appointments, or yeah, the school stuff was a big thing too, getting that stuff in, and then also making sure all the little things are done, like their applications were done, where their birth certificates are, so I can get their birth certificates on their applications. If you're talking about doctor's appointments, going on the other side of a doctor's appointment and being like, oh yeah, I need to get back to the ENT to get into them, get their grommets checked. And that's a year from now. So I got to make sure I'm doing that. And then whenever they complain of a sore ear, I'm like, oh, when is that doctor's appointment about the grommets kind of thing? Whereas you don't have much of that follow up.
Not at home, but I do with work. Yeah. And this was going to, you're more to the same.
I think that's the case is, like we said at the beginning, generalizing. So you would have mental load for work 100%. This is more talking about the mental load that ends up in the household.
Mm-hmm. How do they, does it say anything about how they get to that point? Like, how do they measure that? So, okay. So just hearing you say that, I'm like, okay, I'll do all those things at work, but why does it not translate to home?
Yeah.
Is there anything in there about
that? So I looked up another thing, which is, and this is just, to be honest, it was just ChatGPT. I just asked ChatGPT. Why guys can't do mental load. Yeah. And it came back with a few things and I thought they were pretty good. So there's five things that was identified that may feed into why guys don't carry the mental load at home as often. Mm-hmm. So socialization, which is like traditional gender roles that are assigned to women as primarily responsible for the household and emotional labor, while men may be socialized to prioritize other aspects like work life or personal pursuits. So that's one thing. And I think that would be a huge thing.
Mm.
And like you said, probably changing mm-hmm. as we go forward. Second, lack of experience. Men might not have firsthand experience with the mental burden of managing multiple tasks and responsibilities, especially if they haven't been actively involved in the household and caregiving duties.
Mm.
So as we've also identified before, mums, when you have a child, there's so much, even just physically, that is just automatically... the mum is just automatically kind of fed right into that role.
Mm.
Being pregnant, giving birth, breastfeeding, the connection that you have with your kid, not that the dad doesn't have it, but there's just this level of comfort that the mum provides for the baby in the first year that is often very special.
Mm.
So you're just very quickly put right into that role naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the more opportunities to kind of to balance out some of those mental loads in those first moments of establishing your family, whether it's as a couple or as parents, if it's not caught and established, then it'd be really easy to just, that's the pattern that you go into. The man doesn't have experience managing how many feeds a day the baby needs and when it needs to nap and how to get the kid to school while the baby's napping because he's been at work and it's been automatically the mom's role. And so when you don't have experience and you don't have that kind of repetition of that task, it would automatically not be on the top of the guy's mind.
It's interesting as you're sharing that stuff too. And again, this is an unfinished thought.
Hmm.
But I'm in my head, I remember back to a conversation I had with a friend of mine. Now we've got a daughter and multiple boys.
Mm-hmm.
He has a daughter and multiple boys. And me and my mate were making this observation that our daughter, so I believe for us, we've given equal responsibility amongst our kids, right? And mm-hmm. especially looking after our youngest, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? We encourage them all to feed him, to, you know, get his clothes, to like get him off the window because he's climbing up the window and yeah. or out the doggy door, whatever else. Yeah. I feel like we've actually tried to really I feel like we've done a pretty good job in sharing a load across all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But our daughter, who is the third oldest, I feel naturally sees things and that sort of forward projection mm-hmm. stuff. Either she's maybe observed it from you. I don't know what it is, but both of me and my mate were both saying that we see this natural maternal or womanal, whatever we decided to call it. Role coming out in our daughters already, and they're so young. Mm. So I wonder if it is something that you guys are just biological. Built with. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's just these observations that you just see.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. That was just really fascinating because you look at it at such young ages. Mm. I'm like, but I'm already seeing that. Already.
Yeah.
And she has not been taught more than our oldest.
I think it's really important to say that just because one partner is more natural at that, and usually it will be the female, that is not a bad thing. Like, I don't think at all it's bad that I'm more naturally tuned into these things. The reason this conversation is important is that these things can go unsaid. And actually, there's a big aspect of it not being noticed.
Yep.
And one thing when you did become a stay-at-home dad that I think was really important for us was that the stuff that you would, and not that you ever said anything or were even very judgmental at all, like that, but there was like stuff, it would literally be in my head. You would come home and I would think, oh my gosh, the house looks like a mess and I'm a mess and I'm tired and everything's stressful and I've got nothing to prove. Like I've got nothing to prove that it was stressful and I did stuff today.
Hmm.
And you were always amazing. Like you never made me feel bad about that. But I know that when you did start being with the kids, you were like, oh my gosh, I got nothing done.
Exactly.
And I was like, I know. That's what happens.
We can relate.
Yeah. And so there's a huge part of it that whether the partner says anything or doesn't say anything, again, the mom guilt stuff is in your head or the woman guilt stuff is in your head. And I'd be super intrigued to know how it does differ from like couples that aren't parents to couples that are parents. We were parents so quickly, so we didn't have long enough to.
Well, I had this conversation with a guy this afternoon that is not a parent. And he was like, it was really interesting because he was coming from a perspective of, I don't really struggle with that though. Like he didn't get what I was talking about because he's like, why would I not look for this? Could I use a shopping analogy, example? And he's like, why would you not look through the thing? And this one example. But again, I'll speak to a lot of dads through my work. And when I'll share about mental load, it's this light bulb goes off. Like, oh man, I get that. I see how I do that. And you don't even realize it. And I think that's probably a different, but again, I've shared it with other guys that don't have kids and they're like, oh yeah, I do that too. But nowhere near as much. Mm. I feel like it's more for the dads than the non-parent guys.
Yeah. And maybe if you're listening and you are in a relationship that you don't have children, we'd love to hear from how this plays out because we know the parent side. We don't know the non-parent side very well because it was such a little moment in our lives.
Yeah.
So there's a few other things that ChatGPT told me that may play into it. The invisibility of tasks, which we've spoken about already. These tasks are so hard to identify.
Hmm.
So they're not even tasks half the time. Half the time, they're a mental task in terms of like something that takes up energy, but they're not something that you will ever see the results of. The amount of things every day that I think about, for one thing, I overthink. So I wish there was a way to stop doing that. But you would have no idea the amount of little pieces that I'm just constantly like thinking about. And you will do some of them, but I think our brains just work so, so differently.
They do, yeah.
Our brains work differently and males and females' brains work differently. And there's a whole bunch of mixes in amongst that. So the invisibility of the tasks being so hard to identify for the person doing it themselves, and then even more so for the person that isn't doing it, I think that's a big reason why the mental load gets imbalanced.
Can you elaborate what you mean by invisibility of tasks?
So the example they have is such as remembering appointments and anticipating needs. It might be less visible or easily overlooked by those who aren't directly responsible for them.
Hmm.
So because you're not directly responsible for my dentist appointments or even the kids' doctor's appointments, there's very few times that you've ever had anything to do with taking the kids. And actually one of the ones that's not listed is deciding if they need to go to the doctor or not. And in the early days, our kids were sick all the time. And I get stressed. I get really stressed about them being sick. And I remember us having conversations where I'm like, I need you to tell me if you think they need to go. Because I would just sit there and I'll be like, are they sick enough to go to the doctors? I don't know. And it's just like round and round and round. And like, it literally made me feel sick, like heavy. Because I had to decide if I take my kid to the doctor or not. And even that didn't sit in your head the same way. Like you'd be like, oh, they're sick and I hate that. But that would kind of be the extent of it.
Yeah.
So things like that, like thinking, oh, they're sick, I should take them to the doctor, but I can't take them to that doctor because that doctor's closed, or I need to call before 8:30 to get them into the doctor there. And if that doctor doesn't have appointments, I'm going to have to either take them to emergency department. If I take them to the emergency department, then blah, 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 that kind of thing.
I think that's a perfect example of teamwork, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, women's brains and men's brains are different, you know, and I think for me, I can compartmentalize things better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, I've got my areas I need to work on. Mental load is one of them. But at the same time, when you're in a space where you can't process your thoughts, you can't trust your thoughts or whatever else, I can be that more clarity to the situation because I can compartmentalize. Because I think back in early days, though, too, it was a learning curve for me, too, because I don't know what it is with us guys and going to the doctors, and that's a whole other topic, too. Yeah. But even with the kids, I think I was like, oh, no, they're fine, they're fine. But that wasn't helpful for you to just say, like, no, they're fine, they're fine. I had to say in a way that you would receive it and that would actually calm your brain down. No, they're not fine. They are fine because last time the doctor said this, this, and this. We haven't seen those symptoms yet. We haven't seen those symptoms yet, so we don't need to do that yet. We will go do that when we get to this point or if they get to this point. Sometimes as well, it was just a matter of I could see where you were at. I'm like, yep, you take them to the doctor. Mm. It wasn't even for the kid's sake. It was for your sake, right? That was another learning curve for us as well. So just so we don't come across like we're guy bashing here,
because
I don't like getting bashed. it's not that. We're not doing that. We're just talking about this is an area generally, guys struggle with. Girls struggle with other stuff too. So this is a way that we can complement.
The fourth thing that ChatGPT told me was that it might be communication barriers that play into it.
We should do a podcast on that. Oh my gosh.
Some men and women may not effectively communicate about the division of labor and the emotional toll of mental load, leading to misunderstandings or assumptions about each other's roles and responsibilities. I think that kind of plays into the previous one, the invisible tasks. It'd be easy to look at someone carrying mental load and think, yeah, but they're not doing this, this, and this.
Hmm.
Or they could do that easy because that's all they've got to do today and not think about the invisible parts of it. And if you can't communicate as the partner that's balancing that, like I said, I didn't have terminology around it.
Hmm.
It was very hard for me to say, yeah, but I get stressed about it. Like, what is that? That doesn't mean anything. It's like, okay, I don't get stressed about it. Like, I'll get stressed about it then. Like, that doesn't communicate well. So if you don't have the terminology around it, you don't have like an understanding of what's happening for you and you can't communicate it, it's going to be really hard to tackle that because they only know what they know. It's the same thing as we've spoken about before. Until I can communicate what's going on for myself, it's kind of still my responsibility. Then when I can communicate it, then it becomes our responsibility and our teamwork on it. And then the fifth one is cultural norms. So cultural norms and expectations around masculinity may discourage men from acknowledging or addressing issues related to emotional labor and mental load, viewing them as signs of weakness or femininity.
I think that's probably why the people that write in the most are guys, because the feedback that I've had is guys don't talk about this. And I'm so passionate about that too. Again, this is a lot of my work in the fathering space is there's so many unknowns and you don't know how to talk about it. You don't know who you can talk to about it because what's a safe space, right? Yeah. And so absolutely, I see that because it's a huge fear for a lot of guys. Cool, we might identify something, but doing anything about it for a lot of guys is like pulling a tooth out. Mm. Like we just really struggle to do anything about our situation. Mm. And I think the reason is because we don't know what's safe. Yeah. I feel like for me especially, and a lot of guys I've spoken to, we need to feel safe. If we don't feel safe, we'll avoid. We will get anxious. When we get anxious, we'll shut down. Yeah. We'll put barriers up, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's probably people in general, but because I'm a guy, I don't identify to myself that if I don't feel safe, I react in many different ways, negative ways.
Mm.
Safety is a really, really big thing.
Yeah. And I don't think it's easy to identify that in a guy. I don't think it's easy for me to look at you reacting out of a lack of security and see, oh, he's not feeling secure.
Yeah.
What I see, not you specifically, but just in general, but also you as well. Like what I see is a defensiveness or I see a, like an aggression or I see a, this is not clear, just to clarify.
No, to a point
in
it
some
is.
Place, in yeah, some yeah, areas maybe. Is. Or like a an apathy. Apathy?
Empathy?
No, apathy, like couldn't care. Like brushing it off, you're not interested in it. It's not important. A distraction, like there's so many ways that it would play out. It doesn't look like that scared little boy in the corner. Like it's not something that immediately evokes a, I feel for you feeling insecure in it because of how it plays out. So it's just this messy little conversation or messy little lack of conversation that can happen if you're not feeling secure and you're acting out of your insecurity I'm not seeing it as insecurity. I'm seeing it as something more aggressive or something less interested. And so then my reaction is reacting to that. It's just a cycle.
I think this is actually something that's going through my brain now, and I think this is really important to identify. And not putting it all on this, I think there's other factors in it too. But one of the reasons why I feel like I would put mental load on you is because you are safe.
Mm.
You know, and I know, again, going back to the shopping thing, but it's just an analogy, it's just an example. I don't deal with stress well, right? I don't deal with looking like a fool well. I don't deal with anxiety well. For a lot of guys, and probably girls too, I'm not a female, I don't know, but for a lot of guys, it's fight or flight. Mm. And the flight part is something that we don't talk about a lot. We talk a lot about the fight part, but we don't talk about the flight part a lot. Yeah. And that comes out in the barriers, in the defensiveness, in the avoidance, in all these different areas. And I think that's really important to understand because, again, if a couple is going into this conversation as a female talking to a male, if you do not come at it in a safe way, there's going to be fight or flight. There's going to be defensiveness as the fight. There's going to be flight as in barriers go up and shutting down. Mm. And that's where, again, the conversation is really important. When the conversation stops, it allows room for the barriers to go up. If the conversation's done badly, the barrier's going up anyway. If the conversation can be identified that needs to be had by both parties and can done in a safe environment, I would not be the man I am today if you were not safe. Mm. And I've said that before, like the conversations that we've had have been as fruitful as they've been. Our relationship is in the place that it's in now because you've allowed us to have a safe space. Yeah, we would not be in the place we did if this was not a safe environment. And I think, again, just through everything that we've been speaking about, it was another light bulb moment that went on for me. I'm like, oh, yeah, because I know that if I think back to a small scenario like going to the shops and doing groceries, I want to do that. I want to be I want to be reliable. I want to do this. If I have a hint that I'm not, and I'm going to let down you or I'm going to let down someone else, I'm going to flight. I'm going to shut down. I can't do it. Amy, help me. You know, I'm going to get to that little boy phase of like, I need you to help me. Tell me what to do. Or I'll just be like, no, you do it, which I haven't done. But like, that's easy for me to get to. It's like, no, you do it. I'm shutting down. Yeah. I can't do it.
Which is really interesting because as you're saying that, which I fully, fully appreciate and I think is totally accurate. How does that play out when it's the woman then carrying the mental load of that?
That's why I'm saying it has to be that mutual thing. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not now, it's your responsibility for me to deal with my stuff. Mm. It's not that. When we got together, I was intentional about dealing with my stuff, right? Mm. I've always been intentional about growing, becoming a better man, better dad, better husband, all that sort of stuff. In that process, while I'm trying to do that, and that's where I'm putting that shout out to the guys, step up. This is your responsibility. You know, you need to own this. You need to go on that journey of growing, of becoming better. You need to do that. The benefit, the bonus that I have is that I've got you. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And now my growth is so much greater because I've got you. It's not reliant on you. It's the fact that it's better because of you. Mm. And it's so much more freeing, rewarding. I mean, I have no concerns about our relationship because I feel so safe and confident in it because of the way that we've established that safety for each other and we've allowed that growth for each other. You don't put your stuff on me. I don't put my stuff on you, but I own your stuff and you own my stuff because we're a team.
Yeah.
That's the big difference. It's not me saying like, oh, no, Amy, you need to carry me and help me through all my things, blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. I'm working on my stuff.
Mm.
I need to own that and I will own that. While I'm doing that, we are a team and you are bringing so much more to my growth than if I was just doing it on my own.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's really important to highlight that we had this conversation the first time, let's say 2 years ago, and it started with the grocery talk. Then that kind of expanded a little bit. Even tonight when I was going through this list, I was like, there are still lots of things that I carry the mental load for, and I will. And I don't think the point of this is the woman shouldn't carry the mental load. I think the point of it is have the conversation about that mental load, because if it's unsaid, that's when the mismatch expectations and the hurt can come in and the imbalance. But there's still things on this list that I went through that I was like, oh yeah, that's, I do that. Blair hasn't done that. I do that. But not in like a Blair doesn't do it. It's just, that's how we naturally play out. So one really important thing, sort of talking about that being a secure, safe place. If you come into this conversation, if you're like, yeah, yeah, this mental load, I need to talk to my partner about it. And you come in and say, this, you don't do that. I do that. I do all of this. You don't do this. There's like 25 things. These are the things straight off the bat. We need to work on these. It's not going to be fruitful.
That's not safe.
You can have a general talk. Like, I think we did have a general talk when we first brought it up. It wasn't just groceries. That's the first thing. I was like, this is really interesting. And then we talked about what that might look like generally. I didn't sit there and say, I didn't even know what they were for one thing, but I also didn't sit there, hopefully, and say, it's this, it's this, it's this, and just like pile it on you because how immobilizing would that be?
The way that you did it was you literally showed me that reel, you know what I mean? And you said, hey, what do you think about this? And that's what you guys can do. You can, you can go through this episode together and just ask a question. What do you think about that? Like, do you think this is something that, you know, how do we go with this? And for the female, you can share like, oh, I actually resonate with this a little bit. Yeah. And with the guy, you could be like, yeah, you know, again, really reflect, really have a look at yourself in a non-critical, judgmental way. It's seriously just, you know, let's grow together mentality, but, and just have that conversation from there. Like, what are your thoughts on this topic? Yeah. Start there.
Yeah. And, and like even use us as an excuse and be like, I heard this podcast and I was like, oh my goodness, that's what I wrestle with. So this is concept that I've now learned about mental load, and that's why I'm always stressed. And that I think about, like, you don't see this, but this is what I'm navigating. And so like you can use us as an excuse if you need to, like, to start that conversation.
One big thing was you helped me understand what's going on in your brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't even just a matter of like, I'm putting all this mental load on you. Yeah. You actually came from the perspective of helping me understand what's going on in your mind.
Yeah.
So, because you owned it a little bit too. You owned it in terms of you never communicated that with me that that was happening because you didn't know, right? Like but you could have known and bottled
and
that
still
up.
Still not communicated.
Still not communicated.
Yeah.
So that's the other part too. It's not just a conversation about the guy's doing all these things wrong. And in some circumstances, the girl's doing the same thing. It's not about that. It's about helping them understand what's going internally for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess like similar challenge that you've just put out to the guys, I would put the challenge out to the women. You might be listening to this and feeling frustrated and exhausted because you're like, yeah, he doesn't do these things. He doesn't see it. He doesn't get it, blah, 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 whatever it might be. I would challenge you to be like, genuinely, have I spoken to him about it? Have I genuinely made it clear to him? Sometimes the answer to that is going to be yes. You have tried to make it clear and he hasn't picked it up. And that is valid. So not trying to excuse it, not saying that it's your problem, that he's not helping or aware of it, or he's being critical of you, even though he doesn't understand it. But just do that second of a check-in with yourself and think, have I communicated this clearly with him? If I haven't, am I willing to? If you are not willing to communicate it with him, if you aren't willing to have that awkward conversation, you need to think, well, what is that going to result in? Where do I want to be in 5-10 years time? Am I going to be happy if the patterns we're in right now are just going to be reinforced and reinforced because I just don't want to have that conversation, or because it's just easier for me to do these things? That's a huge thing actually with mental load. One of the main reasons is when the partner just doesn't do the thing right. And there has to be a learning curve. There has to be an awkward time. If you're wanting to hand over some of these tasks, some of this mental load, you have to be aware that there's going to be a time where things might get missed. Things might be sloppy. Things might not be done the way that you want it to be done. But just because it's not done the way that you would do it or the way you want it done doesn't mean it's not a progress. And so just being aware of, have I communicated it? Where do I want to go? Am I satisfied to stay this way? And if I am, I need to kind of own that because I'm choosing not to communicate it properly. If I'm not satisfied to stay this way, am I willing to go through the process of it being an awkward transition time, having to kind of be consistent with communicating through it and be willing to be okay with things being done outside of your control, outside of the way, because that's a huge thing for me. Mm. It's really hard to watch someone do something in a way that I don't think is the right way.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get anywhere if you keep trying to do it all.
Mm. This is a good one. I really enjoyed this because, again, it's something I'm still working on. And I just, again, the amount of conversations I have with guys where the light bulb goes off.
Mm.
It's an annoying thing to struggle with, but it's a great thing to identify and it's an awesome thing to work on together. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we could talk about it for hours, but we're going to leave it there.
Yeah. We had a lot more topics, more examples and scenarios, more than just the groceries, but we just didn't get there.
We can have that conversation by ourselves.
We don't need to.
Oh, we can.
We can. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Can I have the
other? Yeah.
All right. So please give us feedback on our outros. I really want that feedback on our outros or ideas. So maybe you guys can write in an outro for us as well. That would be fantastic. Mm. This week's one, done by ChatGPT. And that's the wrap on today's high-octane conversation at Honey, We Need to Chat. Mm. Buckle up and hold tight, because as long as there's another topic on the horizon, our thrilling ride through the twists and turns of relationships isn't slowing down. Gear up for more action next week. Until then, keep the conversations fiery and the connections electric.
Oh my gosh.
Spicy.
Bye.
Thanks for the chat.